Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I want to thank all of you for joining us today. It's going to be an absolutely jam-packed transmission. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. It is the 15th day of August 2011 on this Monday edition. And boy, am I glad to be here. I took off yesterday, had an excellent rebroadcast, some of it, segments of our new InfoWars special reports that we're doing multiple times a week at PrisonPlanet.tv. So in a way, it wasn't a rebroadcast because much of yesterday's show had never been broadcast at all. But I almost called my producers and crew and came in yesterday, but I controlled myself and didn't. We have a very full plate of key information ahead of us, but the world is awakening. Now, just because you're awake doesn't mean that you know exactly where you're at, but it gives us that are awake a lot more than the general public a chance to show them and illustrate to them historically what's happening in its current context. So we have masses of news we're going to obviously be breaking down here coming up in the next segment. And we have no guest today. I told Jaron and others, I don't want any guest. I want to be able to cover the news and take your phone calls on a host of issues. Number one, the system is running scared of Ron Paul and admits that they are censoring him. In fact, I saw it this morning and forgot to send it to Jaron, and I forget the exact headline, but we're going to dig it up. Once I can't find something, I start obsessing on it. I only had about 5 minutes to try to find it before showtime. It was a Politico headline. And it, oh, Jaron says he did find it. I don't know how you did that so quickly, Jaron. Oh, here it is. Tim Pawlenty, Michelle Bachmann clash at Republican debate. That's, you found one of them, but that's not it. It was a Politico headline that basically said, Bachmann, Pawlenty, you know, come out as top contenders at debate. And then it just doesn't even mention Ron Paul that only lost by a couple hundred points, a couple hundred votes. And now it's admitted that Michelle Bachmann bought 4,000 votes. That's admitted. And so Ron Paul lost by, well, some estimates are 216, others 152. But the point is there's also hundreds and hundreds of votes that came up missing. And then you add to that that Bachmann bought thousands of the tickets, actually paid people, something Ron Paul did not do. Ron Paul told his supporters to come there and buy tickets if they believed in him. And that's all part of the straw polls to show who has the interest. But clearly, with all of her money and establishment backing the former IRS attack dog enforcer, who supports secret arrest of citizens and secret execution of Americans. Hey, if you like her, why not like Joseph Stalin? I know she's a lot cuter than Ron Paul, but and I know Rick Perry's got better hair than Ron Paul. But, well, the point is when I come back from break, I'm going to start my engines and go over all of this today. Also, in financial news, why is George Soros selling gold and buying farmland? That's up on Infowars.com from Mike Adams at Natural News. We have a lot of other bizarre information, like Krugman calls on government to manufacture war to save economy. And it was a very bizarre, for those that aren't informed, statement by Krugman. We're going to play that clip coming up. Amidst alien invasion rant, many missed the point that New York Times economist was advocating a stage crisis. So we're going to be going over that as well. Rick Perry has changed his mind on HPV executive order that killed so many people and maimed so many others. Well, he's a day late, a dollar short on that one, isn't he? Put a video out this weekend on it titled Rick Perry Hurt Little Girls. I should have said killed, but he definitely hurt them. There's no doubting that. When he knew it was killing people. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Monday, the 15th day of August, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. We're going to cover the entire waterfront of key news and information, your phone calls, Rick Perry throwing his hat in the 2012 presidential ring, the mainstream media admitting that they are ignoring Ron Paul and running scared from him. We'll get into all the latest military news, U.S. and NATO arming Syrian opposition. We knew that months ago, but now it's confirmed. Planning military strike. Big victories by Muammar Gaddafi now 4 months into fighting U.S. and NATO-backed al-Qaeda forces. Of course, you know, Friday, the federal government working with the state and city government out in San Francisco shut down cell phones in much of the city to, quote, block a peaceful protest. Even the Associated Press is calling this Orwellian. Today, Kurt Nimmo had the first big report out on it Friday, and then again Sunday. Anonymous announces BART cyber attack after cell phone shutdown. That is all coming up as well. But I also want to talk today about positive things that are happening. And I'm going to do that at the start of the second hour. And in fact, I'm going to write a note here. Positive things. Because as bad as a lot of things are in this world, it always takes things getting bad before people decide to rediscover liberty. And before the average man or woman decides to get up off their rumpus and to believe in themselves and to believe that they can affect change. It takes tyranny to get people to start valuing liberty. See, we go in cycles, and the founding fathers talked a lot about this. Many historians have talked about it, that you become decadent because your society is wealthy. Then corruption comes in. Then hardcore corruption sets in. Then tyranny gets into place. And then people struggle against it and regain their liberty and value it. And then incredible prosperity begins again. And then slowly corruption creeps back in. The prosperity goes away. The freedom goes away. Tyranny comes in. The people stand up again. And then once they have liberty and once people are moral, then the blessings of freedom come back. The prosperity comes back. And then the children and grandchildren become decadent again. And the cycle continues itself over and over and over again. So I'm going to be talking about some of the positive things that are going on in this world when we start the second hour today. By the way, in the last month, I've had radio station managers and owners call us. And this has been happening for years. And they say, yeah, we just got the Arbitron ratings, or we just got the instant people meter systems that are even better. We do even better on those because it's not just off establishment long-term name recognition and laziness, people just filling out the diaries. There's a system in the car that you agree to put in that actually tracks what you're listening to. Genesis is a great network. Ted Anderson is a wonderful person. He never censors me, never tells me what to do. But we've been successful because we're not establishment radio by the book. But over the years, little bitty stations outside big markets, because the big monopolies, there's only really two big companies, own most of the big stations in cities. So even if you get good ratings and huge listenerships, you usually can't get on those big marquee stations because the syndicators also own the stations. One of the big names, obviously, is Clear Channel. And so over the years, we'll go on stations, say 500-watt, 1,000-watt stations outside cities like Knoxville is one example. And a station will go from almost no ratings to a year later doubling, a year after that quadrupling in the time slot I'm in. Big audience for little bitty stations. WBCR is an example. But then over the years, I've been able to get on big stations in big cities. But it's always the same. The station owner or manager calls up and says, yeah, I got this from the local station, or I got this from another network, but just thought I wanted to let you know, how high your ratings are. But the way Arbitron and Instant People meters work, if you're not subscribing to it, until it gets published in a newspaper, you're not supposed to talk about it. And so it is a big, dirty secret in talk radio that everywhere I'm put in a market, even on a smaller station, I will defeat everyone. And I just got in the last month, I don't know, two different stations that came in. One of them is in a top 20 market. Up against Rush Limbaugh, one station went from, what, number six to number one. Number one. I was on the station 2 months, and in 2 months, the station went from way down the rankings to number one against Rush Limbaugh. And I'm just going to have Ted get with the ad agencies and get the numbers ourselves, because Ted's a great guy, but I'm even doing this on air so that it becomes a larger issue, so that we actually act like a radio network and get the ratings, and the fact that that's the holy grail of talk radio. It's the holy grail of radio that you have a talk show host that you can take and put on a smaller station, and in a matter of months go from nowhere to number one. That is the holy grail of talk radio. And that's the reason that Talk Radio Network, the second biggest network out there, records my show every single day and has it sent to executives. I have that from Inside Talk Radio Network. They syndicate folks like Savage and others. The truth is, I will dominate and I will beat and I will annihilate in the ratings anybody that I go up against if I can be put in the NASCAR. I can take the junkiest car on the track with the least amount of money in it, every time if you let me on the track, if you put me on the track, I will dominate. But I have to be allowed on the track. And basically what happens is, for 15, 16 years, I've been winning every time I'm let on the track, and the establishment is all fully aware of this, and the radio executives and consultants are all aware of it, but it's a big secret. And Genesis just can't sit there and count on the fact that this is known in the industry. We have to get this information to the radio stations in the markets out there so that I can reach more people and we can try to save this country. There's no doubt if I was on 650 radio stations like Rush Limbaugh, we would turn this country around in 1 month. There's absolutely no doubt of it. And I just start thinking back over the years when I was on KJFK here in Austin, back when it was talk radio. They were paying $300,000 a year. You have to pay to get Howard Stern on. One of the only shows you have to actually pay for. The others you all share radio spots with them, network and local spots. They were paying 300 and something thousand. I forget the exact numbers. Over 300,000 to him. Plus he got part of the commercials. And in 96, they put me on a Saturday night. And 6 months later, it was one of the highest rated shows in that slot. Number one in talk radio. It was beaten by the music. Some of the books came out later, and I was beating everything in town. Number one. Not just in one or two key demographics, but across the board. So they said, well, we better put you on Sunday, too, since people like you. Then we'll give you a weeknight show, 7 to 9 o'clock. And when I wasn't preempted by sports, we shot up very high, number two, number three, every book and every demographic. And here I was in many demographics beating Howard Stern, who was on in the morning. Now, then the two radio guys had left to go on to better pastures, who had hired me at that station from watching me on Access TV. And they brought in some guys who never really worked much in radio. And they got very upset by my ratings. They got very threatened by it. And basically said, you're going to stop talking bad about the government or you're fired. And I said, I can't do that. So they fired me. I don't know. It was 6 weeks later or so, and really enjoyed themselves and said, you're out of radio, ha, ha, ha. And I laughed at them. I said, I'm doing a show already from my house on ISDN on more than 10 stations. They said, no, you're not, you liar. You're not on the radio. And I've always had to deal with this, that I don't exist and that I don't dominate and that we're not number one. I am number one. and you put me up against anybody on a frequency even half as powerful within 6 months to a year, I will be number one, period, anywhere you put me on the radio. And you know why? Because people, even if they're dumbed down, have good instincts, good guts. And anybody listening to this radio show in your gut knows I'm absolutely 100% hardcore real, and there's no teleprompters here, and I believe exactly what I say, and I do what I say I'm going to do. And that's what people want. And it's a parallel to Ron Paul. He's won number one in New Hampshire, number two in the Iowa straw poll, winning all the other major scientific polls, number one, number two, or number three. Has massive support. Every political analyst that's been honest has said for 2 years he's the only guy that can beat Barack Obama. The Republican leadership is a complete joke. And what happened last Friday after he won the debate, hands down, in Iowa? Totally dominated it. Had the people standing ovations. The talk show questioners, the host of the show were attacking Paul. All the other political hyenas were attacking the lion out there. And everybody saw it. And so what happened Friday? All the big neocon talk show hosts came out and literally attacked Ron Paul and said he was basically the devil and would destroy America. When they're the people that ensured that mainline rhinos who are for carbon taxes, big government, all these wars, torture, end of the Bill of Rights, warrantless wiretapping, you guys have made sure that they stayed in power and that there was no real challenger to Barack Obama so he could get in power. And here's Ron Paul, right about everything across the board, never compromised, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And here you are, coming out and going after him, joining CNN and others, saying Ron Paul can't win, putting out that false mantra. It's the same thing. You give Ron Paul a fair shake, you line him up with the rest of the horses, he will absolutely stomp every one of them into the ground, just like I will. Because it's not Ron Paul, it's not Alex Jones. It's the message of liberty!
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying.
Look at, you know, nobody out there. I'm going to finish up talking about talk radio, and then I'm going to come back and get into all the news. Then give the number out to take your calls. But nobody out there in talk radio wants to go up against Rush Limbaugh. I didn't want to go up against Rush Limbaugh. I wasn't even thinking about Rush Limbaugh 14 years ago when Ted Anderson said, you're doing this nighttime show on my little radio network, but wouldn't you like to do a daytime show 11 to 2? And I said, isn't that Rush Limbaugh's slot? And he said, yeah, but there's some smaller stations out there that, you know, that can't get him on their station. So why don't you fill that slot? And I said, okay, I'll do it. And so for a couple of years, I did the nighttime show and the daytime show 6 hours a day. But the daytime show did grow to be a lot bigger. So here we are many years later. So I never looked to challenge Rush Limbaugh. I never thought magically that if I was in Rush Limbaugh's slot, I would beat him. When I had a chance to be put on the field with him. And I don't have a hatred for Rush Limbaugh. I think Rush Limbaugh was a gateway. I remember being in high school and college and listening to him and agreeing in the principles of liberty and freedom and the Second Amendment and national sovereignty. But I grew out of Limbaugh very, very quickly. I learned that environmentalists aren't wackos. They're hardcore banker-run consolidators to sell everyone on guilt so that we'll give up our liberty, our freedom, our private property. I learned that big mega corporations were behind the environmental movement to control government and then have government shut down their competition so only they could operate. They were monopoly men. And so I'm not up here going, woo-hoo, you know, anywhere they put me up against Limbaugh, I absolutely, completely dominate him. And Ted, by the way, has now gotten those numbers. They're going to put a press release out on it soon. And it's not the first time this has happened. Anytime I'm put in the same market with Rush Limbaugh, I will take stations that aren't even showing up in the ratings, and I will take the show to number one. It normally takes 6 months to a year. I've done it in a major market in two stinking months. And you know why? You know why? Because they've put in the instant people meters. that actually show who's being listened to. And it's a lot harder to game those. And here's my problem with Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh talks all day about the free market, but he doesn't talk about how the mega Federal Reserve that he supports and defends over the years is a giant monopoly over the issuance of currency and credit. He doesn't talk about how he works for a group that tries to set up radio monopolies to actually shut out competition. The truth is, I will absolutely defeat Rush Limbaugh anytime they let me in the ring with him. Okay? He can wear brass knuckles. I'll wear gloves. I will clean the floor with him. You can tie one of my arms behind my back, literally, and give him a baseball bat. I will destroy him. Now, I don't want to destroy Rush Limbaugh. He's already done a pretty good job of that. Taking so many pills, he went deaf. That's what that Oxycontin does. That guy's a cyborg. I feel sorry for him. I want to get America back. I want my republic back. I want my Bill of Rights and Constitution back. That's what I want. I could care less at the end of the day to say, man, I'm the most hard-hitting, hardcore, truly cutting-edge radio host that's hit this country in decades. You think I like that? No, I don't like the responsibility of having to get up here and realize millions of people are listening to me. This is a mission. This is not entertainment. This is not about being a big personality. This isn't about living in $30 million houses or flying around on private jets. This is about defending the republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. And I remember multiple top radio executives a decade ago and 7 years ago, always the same speech. Alex, do you want to go on this crusade that's leading nowhere, or do you want to be a star? Be a mainline Republican. Join us. You'll get a TV show. You'll have the book deals. You'll have it all. And all those execs know it. All those big networks know it. They couldn't believe that they couldn't buy me for 30 pieces of silver. What is 30 pieces of silver worth if you don't have a country or a Second Amendment? And if a bureaucrat can come to your house and boss you around or take your children for no reason? In fact, I didn't even have a choice. There's no choice at all. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know that parable? You go to somebody and say, I'll give you $1 million to give me your eyes. No way, no way. Well, why would you take $1 million to sell who you are, to sell your soul? Huh? See, I can't be bought, and I can't be threatened, and people know it. And I'm only an example how we're taking this country back. You know, I like the fact that I'm an underdog. I like the fact that I crawled up from nowhere. I didn't have some giant defense contractor 25 years ago when AM radio was completely dying get behind me and pay to get me on dozens of stations to get ratings and then expand talk radio across the nation. Oh, and make no mistake, it was major defense contractors and Rush Limbaugh that saved AM radio. AM radio would not even exist today as we know it if it wasn't for Rush Limbaugh. So let's give him his due. And this is something that's in the way, way back burner of my brain. The fact that any time I'm put up against Rush Limbaugh or anybody else, I absolutely dominate them. People are like, well, then give us these ratings numbers. Let me explain to you talk radio. Whenever Ted wants to get the ratings, he has to go out to the big consortiums and pay to see them. Do you think the TV networks just get to see the Nielsen ratings for nothing? You think Nielsen does that for free? Goes out and gathers that data? No, you have to pay for it and a hefty sum. Ted just came in my ear during the break and he said, yes, we were already on that. We already have the numbers. I got a bunch of cities for you. Well, then why isn't my show being promoted? Because I talk about 9/11 being an inside job? Because I'm not some candy-ass libertarian show? Excuse me. Because I'm not a coward? I'm Mike Tyson in his prime. Put me in the ring. I will rip these people to shreds. Fist and elbows. They're going down. Because I want liberty. That's why I'm fighting, is for my family. I know how real this is. I'm not fighting for a big ego. I'm not fighting to go to these stupid radio conventions and everybody kiss my hind end. I'm a recluse. I want to be left alone. That's why I'm out of the gates. That's why I came out of my cave. Because I want to be left alone. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm angry. I don't want to be here. I got up at 6 a.m. and took my children fishing. I almost called in and canceled the show today. I'm out there with a French bulldog and my three children. I'm catching bass and catching sun perch and trying to catch catfish. Boy, I had a big one right up there, almost caught him, but broke the line. That's what I want to be doing, not hanging around with rich people in New York or Los Angeles or showboating around with people. You can ask anybody in my office. I might go to a movie every couple months with a crew or something, but I'm not out hanging out. I'm not out trying to hang out with the people and act cool and be seen. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. And I want the globalist off my back. I'm a free man. I don't want to be a slave on a global plantation. Now, I'm going to get into the news. And then a wide open phone, second and third hour today. No guests, because I want to talk to you. But my brain just starts burning with the data and the information that in a consolidated talk radio system with one giant oligopoly of corporations, two different groups operating together to own the stations, own the hosts, keep people out, do whatever they can, that any time there's a crack in the door, and there's been dozens of these cases, I absolutely just wipe the walls with these people. Now, here's the good news, and I said I'd give you a bunch of good news next hour. Here's some good news, just one little piece of good news out of a cornucopia of good things. I listen to mainline neocon talk radio now, nighttime, morning, weekend, and they talk about global government and the ultra-rich and how the ultra-rich use monopolies and use government to shut down their competition. That was not on radio 2 years ago. The only place you'll ever on big radio hear anybody talk about the New World Order or such issues was George Norrie. And he took that show in the right direction. He deserves a lot of credit. He did that 7-8 years ago. Big change. And if you got to say somebody really opened the door to allow some of these topics to be discussed, it was George Norrie. At the end of the day, he deserves more credit than I do, having people like me on. And the system thinks it's safe to let him do that because, you know, he covers the waterfront. But the point is, truth is contagious. And the truth is, if George Norrie did a purely political show during the middle of the day, he'd beat Rush Limbaugh. The truth is, people are sick of the rhino establishment parroting the same message over and over and over again. And it's not just that it's the same old, distorted, fraudulent message. The same type message we get from the Democrats is a different flavor. It's still Kool-Aid at the end of the day, with cyanide in it, politically. It's not just that it's boring. It's killing this country. It's destroying this constitutional republic. So the good news is, you can pull the clip up. 2 years ago, Rush Limbaugh was forced to come out and say, I've always been a water carrier for the Republicans establishment, and I'm not doing it anymore. He had some kind of pang of conscience, and you could hear it in his voice. And now what's he doing? He's carrying the water. I saw a video clip, and I forgot to send it to Jaron. It was, it's in Paul Watson's article from Saturday. What's the headline? Forget the hoax. Ron Paul is a presidential frontrunner. And in that is a clip of Limbaugh in his studio. Looks like his home studio, not the regular one. And he's talking horrible about Ron Paul and has genuine hatred of him. And then he turns to the television and he says, there he is in front of the ice cream stand in Iowa. And goes, this is just great. It's funny because I'd seen that same day, I guess later in the afternoon, Ron Paul in front of the ice cream stand where they were interviewing people at the Iowa straw poll. And it was that hatred that he had. That's why you never hear me come out and bash Rush Limbaugh and talk about how he's a drug addict, pill head, synthetic heroin head, and all the rest of it. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I don't like just hating on other media personalities. But to see his hatred of Ron Paul, to see him demonize Ron Paul, to see him say Ron Paul can't win, it'll destroy the Republican Party. Hey, Rush, if people like Ron Paul don't get into power in this country, America's over, buddy boy. Ron Paul has laid out everything that was going to happen with total precision. And it's archetypal that he's the man of the hour right now and is the real front runner who could unify this country and kick the globalist out of here at great risk to his own life. And you sit there selling the establishment line. You know, it's not just mainline radio talk show hosts that now talk about the New World Order and the Federal Reserve because they have to because of this show and others and the internet, just to stay pertinent, to even stay in the game, to stay relevant. It was people like Newt Gingrich, who wrote the foreword to Alvin and Heidi Toffler's books, two of them, where he openly calls for world government and the end of the United States. Go pull up the quotes. A guy that supports carbon taxes, a guy that was sent in there to sabotage, like Boehner's doing, the true conservative libertarian revolution of 1994. A total CFR globalist, picked by the CFR to run for Congress decades ago because he wrote books totally calling for world government. And what did Newt Gingrich say? Well, we shouldn't abolish the Fed, but oh yes, I do want it audited. And just a few years ago, he fought auditing it publicly. And Ron Paul turned to him and he said, I am so glad that the mainstream is starting to join me. See, that's what's happening. We're winning. They're bleeding out. And so what do? They sit up there like a bunch of demonic parrots in a tree saying the same thing over and over again. There is no world government, there is no global banking cartel, but there is, and they're going to fix things with a global VAT tax that Bill O'Reilly pushes. And Ron Paul can't win. Ron Paul can't win. Did I tell you Ron Paul can't win? And I can't tell you how many local talk show hosts and national I hear say, I like Ron Paul, but too bad he can't win. That is a mind game that they developed to treat you like you're a three-year-old. It's like an ice cream truck grows by and your child hears the ice cream truck music and you tell the three-year-old, they're out of ice cream, honey. They're going home. And the three-year-old goes, oh, there's no ice cream. It's like a lie you tell a baby so they don't throw a fit. Oh, you hear the ice cream truck, but he's out of ice cream, honey. Maybe sometime down the road. It is that they treat you like brain-damaged children. Are you brain-damaged children? Or does it anger you to have these people sit up there and play their psychological warfare games on you? You know, the minute you're aware of their playbook, all their games don't work anymore. The minute you're aware of their scams, it's game over. Now, I don't get up here like a cheerleader or like a football coach who really thinks my team is going to lose. But I tell you, you can win because I just don't want you to be embarrassed too bad. If I didn't know, not think, know historically from deep research and in my spirit, in my gut, and intellectually, that not only can we stop the globalists, we can defeat them and build an incredible civilization together. Our greatest days are ahead of us if we wake up out of this television culture of death-induced trance. This 501c3, it's the end of the world, Jesus is coming back, government-financed rapture cult. If we can get past all that garbage, and if you New Agers stop thinking that Nibiru, planet Turkey, is going to kill us, if you stop having this defeatist attitude and start believing in yourselves, we could turn this civilization around. And if you're Christians out there, don't give me, oh no, it's scripture. If my people will humble themselves and repent, that I will free them. I mean, you know all those verses, right? What about Nineveh? Jonah going to Nineveh, the 100-year reprieve. And even if it is the end of the world, even if planet Keebler, Elf, is coming to get us, you still need to stand up against evil and not use it as an excuse to stand down and lay down and not fight corruption. The The globalists are not all powerful. They realize the individual has incredible power when you have knowledge, when you have truth, and when you have the will and the courage to execute an operation against the technocrats. I crawled up literally from nowhere. That's why it's an establishment mantra that I'm establishment and I'm backed by people when it's a complete fraud. Because they don't want you to believe that you can affect change. They don't want you to believe that you have power. I'm somebody, ladies and gentlemen, who was going to community college and about to go to the University of Texas and figured out it was all a big joke and a game and that they were teaching me RTF information from a decade before that was worthless. So I went down and did an access television show. I found a place and it took me over a decade to get to where we are now. Think of where we'll be in a few years. We're growing exponentially. And it's the same example of where we came with Ron Paul. Ron Paul, 30 years ago, was a voice in the libertarian wilderness. But the system was so scared of him that they tried to get him to join them, just like they tried to get one of his colleagues to join them. His name, you may have heard of it, is Alan Greenspan, who wrote books against the New World Order, the world government, and the Federal Reserve, and called for a gold currency. Now, when he was in Congress 16, 17 years ago, Ron Paul couldn't get one co-sponsor for his End the Fed legislation. Last year it passed the House. They used the corrupt Senate to kill it. They're so scared now that they're going to be able to pass it in the House and Senate as the economy implodes and as the people recognize who was behind this, that they've now fraudulently set up a super Congress for the interim so that Rand Paul can't introduce legislation to get rid of the Fed or audit it. And so Ron Paul can't, you know, he can't introduce that now technically. Because of the super Congress. But you're like, oh, well, see, they're tyrants. Yes, and we force them to uncloak. To use a cheesy Star Trek analogy, we force the Klingon vessel to uncloak to fire. They uncloaked. There they are. I mean, you think in a fight you're just going to go up and win the first punch? You have to make the enemy show themselves. You have to run up against them to expose their weaknesses. You have to run up against them so they can smash you. And so others see you being smashed and have courage to stand up. You see, I don't believe that if I'm destroyed, that's going to scare people. That's going to cause people to see the fact that I stood up and resisted these people. That's going to cause you to rise up. See, people think I'm here trying to scare folks. It's the opposite. I'm coming from my truthful perspective, how I see things. And when somebody tells me about tyranny and proves that somebody wants to enslave my family and take my liberty and my property and my freedom and my destiny, I get angry and want to fight them. So I treat you like you're Alex Jones. I imagine you're just like I am, red-blooded. And I come to you and I don't mince words and I tell you what's going on and I show you the proof. And I break it down for you in the belief and in the heartfelt conviction that when you finally wake up out of your trance and face what you're dealing with, that you'll decide on the only course that's available. Because these globalists aren't giving us quarter. They're not just trying to enslave us. The enslavement is a means to an end. They want to exterminate us in every one of their seminal documents. Foundational in every one of their canons, in every one of their tomes. And see, that's the one thing they have on us, is that good people tend to be blind to evil. It took me over a decade to really believe the globalist own statements. It took me a long time to really face just how wicked and evil these people are. It took me a very, very long time to even be able to deal with this myself and to realize there's no future if I don't fully commit myself to this and have no fear. You know, I have no fear of being killed or being destroyed or being imprisoned or tortured or lied about, my character assassinated. I only have fear that I will not live up to the challenge, that I will fail you and my family. Because there is no future if we don't beat these people. And it's the minute, You realize that it is the second that that light bulb goes off in your heart, your soul, your intellect, your spirit. It's the minute that you decide to not play mind games with yourself. And, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, whatever. Oh, some of what that guy says is true. And, yeah, a lot of it's come true, but I just can't believe it's that bad. The minute you stop being in denial, the minute you stop being a three-year-old psychologically. See, three-year-olds think they can change reality by imagining. The minute you understand you're not going to get out of this, none of us are going to get out of this unless we face just how serious the threat is. Was it Patrick Henry said? We'll try to pull up the quote. You know, I would know the truth no matter how bad and make preparation for it. Now, when we come back, I haven't even gotten to the news yet. Incredible economic news. The mainstream media admits they're targeting Ron Paul, demonizing him, and trying to ignore him. Rick Perry news. It's all coming up, and your phone call. Stay with us. I'm wound up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right. I've been ranting for 54 minutes. I apologize. I actually don't hate Rush Limbaugh. It upsets me to see him turned into just a complete vassal of the New World Order and so pathetic. And to see him over the years promote mandatory drug sentencing for young people caught with heroin or cocaine that the military-industrial complex ships in publicly. And then to still call for mandatory sentencing even though he's been caught with synthetic heroin. And I don't think he should get in trouble for his drug addiction problems. It's an addiction. It's a problem. But even after that, spot checking and listening, he still promotes mandatory drug war garbage. I mean, that is one evil piece of garbage right there. I'm sorry. That is just a sold out blob of pus. All his money, all his power, getting off drug charges, you know, doctor shopping over and over again. But he wants some 16-year-old kid caught with drugs to be thrown under the jail. So that then that person comes out of prison, a hardcore criminal with 4 to 5 to 7 to 10 years of criminal education. You know, the media is all over the place saying, why is the gangster culture the new culture? Why are there so many kids raping and robbing and killing all over the Western world? Because Sumner Redstone and MTV and Hollywood sold it. And because kids that go to public schools get beat up by the gang members, so they join them out of fear. I didn't join them. I beat the living daylights out of them when I grew up in Dallas, but I was the exception. Most people got into it. There's a bunch of reports on that I'll get to later. Yes, America's culture is a prison culture. What do you think you learn at prison? How to be in the Aryan nations, how to be in the black group, the Hispanic groups. And what do the young middle-class kids learn how to do? They learn how to be punks. They grow up and MTV says you wear your pants down over your hind end to signify that the intelligentsia of this country is a sexual toy for someone with HIV in prison. That's what a sick joke America is in Europe, and that's the yuppie parents that are even bigger sick jokes teaching their kids to go ahead and go along with it. Parents say, oh, that's too cool for you. That's too old for you. You can't dress like a prostitute when you're 10. You can't dress like a punk in a prison when you're 12. Instead of telling your kids, that's a psychological warfare television. That's a system there to destroy you and make you weak. You tell your kids that, they'll listen to you. But you act like a bunch of chicken neck parents out there. You wonder why you've lost your children. Because you're not men and you're not women. You're a bunch of TV heads that repeat whatever's programmed into you. And it's time to break it. Time to break your conditioning right now. We got a lot of hope, but you got to get angry first. You got to get focused. You can't say, oh, the world's too corrupt. I just give up. That's the end of it. You've got to believe that we can make this a better place, and you've got to get aggressive, and you've got to have confidence. This is what happens when I take off 2 days in a row. I actually had a weekend. I actually got some sleep. I did do a lot of work, as you noticed, on the websites, but... All right, you might want to know what the news is. We're going to come back and get into it. Establishment media admits conspiracy to ignore Ron Paul. Can't make that up. PrisonPlanet.com. Got the CNN clip where they admit it. Reuters elite edits Iowa poll. Reality, according to globalist agenda, they don't even mention Ron Paul. Neither does Politico. Bachman rigged Iowa poll by buying at least 4,000 votes. But we don't need Ron Paul, who's an actual constitutionalist. We want the IRS attack dog. And don't worry, you'll probably get her. You like somebody who's cutesy. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here live. I haven't even gotten into the cornucopia of news yet in your calls. A little too wound up from actually taking off 2 days in a row, a true rarity. Usually when I'm out of town or not on the air, it's because I'm working out of town. All right, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stacks of news. And I'm going to get to the most important starting here in a moment. But if you witnessed all the incredible duplicity that went on at the Iowa straw poll, Michelle Bachman's people, Politico's even reporting, putting up fake registration signs saying, if you want to be in the straw poll, sign up here and buy your ticket for Bachman. Bachman's rule, no vote, no Randy Travis. She bought 4,000 votes and only beat Ron Paul by 162 or 212. There's three different numbers here. The point is Ron Paul really won, as usual. He did officially win, even though they tried to rig it in New Hampshire. Michelle Bachman is offering up country singer Randy Travis and other bands for free. As this brochure being passed out by Bachman volunteers indicates, you must first register with her to get to see the music. Oh, boy. Randy Travis at 3 o'clock. Richie McDonald and Tim Rushlow, Charles Billingsley. You get to hear them. If you buy your ticket for her in the straw poll, and, you know, she's got that robot android look in her eyes. And all of this is just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, a lot of people, they send me emails, I see their comments, and they say, Alex, you say there's election fraud. Well, I don't say it's been proven in federal and state court from Ohio to Texas, from California to New York, I mean, from Chicago to Miami, all the famous cases. Executives have gone public from Diebold and other companies. A lot of times they die in a plane crash right after. Yeah, there's massive election fraud all over the country. So why then am I even covering the election? Why am I saying vote for Ron Paul? Because all the voting experts I've talked to, like Bev Harris and others, who've really been proven to be accurate so far, say that if there's a landslide because of the county and state systems, it's very hard for them to steal it. Besides, resistance is victory. We make them steal it from Ron Paul, there'll be a bigger hubbub to totally discredit these machines that are being pulled out in some areas of the country. It's a fight. It's who wants it most. And when Ron Paul gets up there in these debates and all the other eight Republicans sit there and say torture and war and secret arrest and, you know, is good, and he sits there and points out common sense reality, it's the three-year-old saying the emperor's wearing no clothes. and so resists his victory. Don't you understand that? It's easy to go, oh, everything's destroyed, we can't win, there's nothing we can do. Ladies and gentlemen, their global warming hoax is imploding. Their carbon tax is imploding. Obama has the lowest approval rating ever recorded for a president this far into their term. I mean, how many other victories are going on? The majority of people want to abolish or audit the Federal Reserve. People now know about global government. They know about corporate cronyism, monopolyism. Mainline talk radio is sounding more and more like Alex Jones and Ron Paul every day. The other candidates are trying to sound like Ron Paul. Ron Paul won the stinking debate. Our ideas are winning. He won the last two CPACs in front of the Republican leadership. We're winning. They're losing. We're winning. We're winning. We're winning. Get used to it. Believe in it. Take it in your hands.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Open phones for the next 2 hours, interspersed with masses of key media clips we're going to analyze and other key news. I'm getting to the news right now. Your calls start at the beginning of the next segment on any issue you wish to discuss. But first-time callers in the first hour. It'll be wide open third hour. And by first hour, I mean first hour of calls. Second hour right now, live, the 15th day of August 2011 on this Monday edition. 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Okay, we're going to get into Rick Perry and the vaccine that he forced on Texas girls, part of a hoax. He didn't have the law behind him, but a lot of them did it. A lot of them got sick, a lot of them died. And guess what? That's in the national news today. He's now backed off and said he was wrong. You see, that's going to come to haunt you, buddy. You got their blood on your hands. You knew, and we made sure your office knew, that a year before you ordered it with an executive order, that young women were dying in the trials. In some cases, that was a blessing, because others were paralyzed and are still paralyzed, brain damaged, blood pouring out of every orifice with what appeared to be an Ebola-type autoimmune meltdown. And you knew. And for the last 3.5 years, millions of Texas girls have taken it, and the death toll has been staggering. You are someone that makes Al Gore your political progenitor, your master that you headed up the campaign for in Texas as his chairman, proud. You are a eugenicist. You're as phony as a $3 bill. And we're going to expose you, pal. So understand that. I'm going to get more into that report. Why is George Soros selling gold and buying farmland? We're going to be going over all of those reports as well. Markets heading to new danger zones, says Zolik, the head of the World Bank. Zolik, a key person on 9/11. Bernanke pledges to basically steal all your grandmother's future by devaluing the dollar, freezing down to the fourth year, coming up next year, of the COLAs on Social Security. That is all coming up. And then I've got another smattering of news here. You know, I see these reports every day now. And it's certain states. It's seven states I see doing this. Massachusetts is one of the worst. Maryland's bad. Like, most of the cases I see are in those two states. Massachusetts police arrest another man on wiretapping charges. He recorded the traffic stop on his iPhone. That's right. And he's facing all these felony charges for it. Now, there's no perception of privacy when a cop pulls you over. They've got cameras mounted on them, or at least microphones. They're videotaping you. And they don't care if this isn't wiretapping. Wiretapping's going and putting a wire and recording somebody's phone line, or sticking a camera up against, you know, their window through the shades. It's peeping Tom behavior. Wiretapping is not recording the police, and they're now charging people that film them in plain view. Oh, yeah, I've seen cases in Maryland where the riot police are beating people 100 yards away. Cops come over, beat them on camera, charge them with assault. Doesn't matter, they didn't touch them. The cops just frame you right there because they're acting as criminals. And then they go ahead and give you a felony charge on top of it for taping them. Now that is Nazi Germany. That is North Korea. Everybody knows that if you live in a tyranny, the cops are bad. So as we go into tyranny, and the police don't speak up against this, and it varies jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Police are as varied as sand at the beach. They're just like the general public. But history shows that you give the bad apples a green light, they will take over departments, they will take over your society, and set themselves up as kings. And it's happened. And I've got other reports here in the news where people are being charged for legal guns in the U.S. and Canada. I see these reports about once a week. Gun collector sues Toronto police for seizing legally owned firearms. They SWAT teamed him, and they said, we don't care if they're legal. You're still going to jail. I see that all the time. So that's coming up. Also, we have a good snapshot example of government kill switches over the internet and telecommunications we've been reporting on since Friday, but now there's some big developments in that case. Anonymous announces BART cyber attack after cell phone shutdown. Most of the time, Anonymous is the feds. It's just a name they can use to then blame all the whole hacker community and then use the hacks as an excuse to take over. Hackers protest BART decision to block cell phones. That's AP. San Francisco's cell shutdown, safety issue or a hint of Orwell? No, it's not a hint. It's a full seven-course meal of it. It's not a pinch of it. It's a gallon of it. It's not a half a shot of Jack Daniels. It's a jug of it. And because it was a peaceful protest in a large part of the city, the government just shut all cell phones down. That's a hint of the future. Oh, criticize Hosni Mubarak for doing it, but boy, good old America's going to do it. But see, it's bad when another country tortures. It's good when people that run our nation do it. Black uniforms are bad in Nazi Germany. Not bad when our police wear them. Well, a baseball bat up against the head's a baseball bat up against the head. A rose is still a rose by any other name. A tyrant is still a tyrant by any other name. A tyranny is still a tyranny. A despotism is still a despotism by any other name. A giant, stinking, black dragon spewing acid out of its mouth against every form of freedom, stomping around on us, and you people are still living in denial about this? I mean, you're not denying there's an elephant in the room. The elephant is now stomping on you, and you're denying it. Okay, that's enough. Why is George Soros selling gold and buying farmland? It's all coming up. But right now, establishment media admits conspiracy to ignore Ron Paul, prisonplanet.com. Reuters edits Iowa poll to cut out Ron Paul. Bachman rigged Iowa poll by buying at least 4,000 votes. The queen of the Tea Party, Mrs. IRS enforcer. You people are idiots. Let's support her. Ron Paul, could he win the Iowa caucuses? LA Times, you bet he could. The Iowan straw poll mystery. Where are the hundreds of missing votes? Where did the 218 votes go? Oh, they went to help Miss Bachman. That's just some of what we're going to be going over. First off, I want to give you Exhibit A. CNN and Politico admit Ron Paul media conspiracy. Well, at the end of this video, there's a little clip of Politico with the names of Bachman and Palente winning, nothing about Ron Paul. I mean, Genesis carries talk radio news. It's no longer USA for years. What's it called now? What's it called, Harmon? What's the name of the neocon limp-wrist news we carry? It's not USA anymore. SRN. Soviets rule nation, yes. This so-called conservative Soviets rule nation news, every time I never hear Ron Paul. I mean, I have to listen to it on the other Genesis show. I have to listen to it on a local station here in town. And Ron Paul will win a straw poll, and they will mention second, third, fourth, and fifth place and not even mention him, treating you like you're a low-grade, sniveling moron. Soviets rule nation news. I'm done. I'm taking the gloves off, folks. This is what they do. And Fox, Ron Paul got more than half the votes on their poll. So they just pulled the poll. 30-something thousand. He had almost 17,000 votes of like 31,000. They do it everywhere. They do it and they tell you, he can't win. He can't win. So that weak-minded people go, well, I like him, but I'm going to pick a winner because, oh, you mean I can't have that fishing pole up there in the display? You're sold out? Yes, sir, we're sold out. There's only 20 of them in the back. Move along. Pick something else. You don't want that little doggy in the window. You want Mr. Carbon Tax, Newt Gingrich, Mr. Global Government. You want the guy that offered the health care bill, Mitt Romney. You want the guy that forced little girls to take shots and was Al Gore's chief of staff, Rick Perry. You don't want the guy that never compromised and was right about everything and is the only true statesman in America right now. No, no, no. You don't want him. You don't want him. You don't want him. You do not. Well, you can't have him. Too bad you like him. You can't have him. Now, be weak-minded children. We said so. We're the little political class. We're Soviets Rule Nation Radio. Let's go ahead and start going to this clip, and we'll come back and finish the rest of it. Here's the... Do what? No, no, no. We're not going to the Krugman clip. I'm going to go to CNN, Politico, admit Ron Paul media conspiracy. I know I told you Krugman at the start of the show. I never got to the clips. We'll come back and get to it, then I'll get to your calls. The point here is that Becky Poo, Limbo, all of these people that support the banker bailouts and all the rest of it, oh, they don't want you to remember they did that? They, along with the Democratic operatives, along with CNN, along with Politico, along with everybody else in the world, is going to sit there and tell you, you know, you walk on the car lot and you say, I want that one. They go, I'm sorry, sir, that deal, I know that was an ad in the newspaper that you could have liberty and freedom, but I've got this broken down Yugo over here for the same price. You don't want that brand new Dodge Charger, 450 horsepower, SRT, big block. You want this broken down Yugo that doesn't start. You want Rick Perry. He's got nice hair. He likes four shots. He's knelt before Al Gore. Isn't that what you want, Newt Gingrich? How about an IRS agent? How about the guy that wrote the Health Care Act? Just not that old guy, that old kook. No, 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 no. You can't have him. Too bad. Yeah, don't call my name out your window, you dirty, stinking neocons.
Don't call my name out.
I'm diametrically opposed to Obama and all his socialist minions run by big banks trying to get us all dependent on their plantation. But at least they admit they're dirty, low-down rat commies. You people run around and act like you're free market and all the rest of it, but I hear mainline so-called conservative news never will utter Ron Paul's name unless it's negative, won't tell you when he wins a straw poll or gets second place, because they feel like they're members of the establishment. And they feel like, oh, we just sell out to the establishment, we're part of the winners, that'll protect our families. What happens when everybody sells out to the establishment? Societies collapse. You people are destroying your own future. You're not going to have to wait long now. It's all these executives and these wannabe establishment types who are so competitive they sell their soul out. Don't you understand? You have no future when you have this attitude. All right, let me play this CNN clip with the Politico reporter on there. And the Politico reporter, again, plays it perfectly, knowing that most people like Ron Paul. He's got one of the highest approval ratings of anybody, in fact, the highest out there. He's won his congressional seat with record numbers in a very diverse district. They've rewritten many times trying to beat him. And this guy says, yeah, I really like Ron Paul. I shouldn't say I like him. So he puts that out there to make folks that like him feel like they're alone. He knows the majority likes Ron Paul, so he's showing why he's a slime bag reporter for Politico. Everything is crafted with what he says. Okay, these guys write their talking points up ahead of time and listen to him. He says, well, I really shouldn't say this, but I like Ron Paul. And that's meant for those of you that like him to feel like, well, I better not tell anybody I like him because I'm driven by peer pressure. I'm weak. I go with the herd. Okay. Oh, but now I like this guy because I'm going to listen to him because he said he likes Ron Paul. So it has a double meaning. I like this guy. He's a friend, so I'm going to listen to him. But we're together in our weirdness. Okay, what do you have to say? And he goes on and says, well, the media ignores him even though he's winning. Won the debate, second in the straw poll. Because everybody knows he can't win. I mean, they talk to you like you're idiots. Are you really that stupid, America? Well, no, I guess you're not. He won the New Hampshire poll. Straw poll, no one even covered it. He won CPAC 2 years in a row, and Fox News dubbed over a tape of a year before of him being booed. Oh, it was a technical difficulty later when they got caught. It's a technical difficulty on Soviet fake conservative radio that Genesis carries. Because I mean, it's, I guess it's better than Fox or CNN radio news. Maybe not. People would know immediately. At least CNN's pure evil. I mean, they all think you're dumb. Does that make you mad? Somebody won't tell you somebody won? Does it make you mad they've all gotten together, all these little pencil neck nobodies, and sit there for hours writing up how to manipulate you? Thinking they're real smart and they're the little insiders and get to giggle and laugh at everybody. I've been at events. I've been around these pundits. They are a bunch of people who were losers their entire lives and who hate everybody and who get off on manipulating people. I'm telling you, folks, nerds are one of the most dangerous groups in this country because they end up running things. But they still hate everybody because they weren't the jocks in high school. So they play little dirty games on everybody. They use their brains to hurt people. And I'm aware of them. Okay, I see you, you little rats. Like, here's the clip.
We are in the business of kicking candidates out of the race.
May I say one thing about Ron?
Stop right there. Back it up. We're in the business of kicking people out of the race. That's the guy who's got a face made for a septic tank. He says that first. Again, just throwing the stuff at you so you feel like you're smart and parrot what they say. Stop regurgitating what they vomit in your mouth. Back to the scum.
We are in the business of kicking candidates out of the race.
May I say one thing about Ron Paul? I find it odd for me to be a Ron Paul supporter, but he lost to Michelle Bachmann by 0.9 percentage point in a straw poll that isn't supposed to pick winners, but is supposed to tell us which way the wind is blowing. That's as good as a win. So we had a tie for first. But where is he on the morning shows this morning? Where are all the stories analyzing what it means that Ron Paul essentially tied for first place at Ames?
And what the reason that he's essentially being ignored is?
The media doesn't believe that Ron Paul has a hoot in hell's chance of winning the Iowa caucuses, winning the Republican nomination, or winning the presidency. So we're going to ignore him.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, Howard, because that's the one thing Donald Trump has ever been right about is that he's unelectable. I mean, I think, you know, my favorite part of the debate Thursday night is that, you know, Rick Santorum broke the golden rule of Republican debates, and that's pretending Ron Paul is invisible, you know? So, I mean, I think you're right. There's more media attention than there is, you know, this is going to have to do with the actual results.
Well, just to remind people of the numbers here, this great victory won by Michelle Bachmann, and I'm not taking anything away from her. She got in late, and she got 11.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So you've got the political prostitute host of the show. You got the Politico guy who doesn't sound that bad on the surface. Then they cut to the other pundits, Republican, Democrat, alternative, conservative, radio news, Donald Trump. They're all telling you Ron Paul can't win, Ron Paul can't win. Because he's the only candidate who is talking about real issues that would get rid of the Federal Reserve, restore the Republic, get our troops home. The globalists aren't failing. Their program to take America over is going quite nicely. And here is this dark horse, you know, this guy of old, this constitutionalist, who is challenging their tyranny right at this key juncture in time. God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, has given us Ron Paul. And they've got the COINTELPRO at the grassroots attacking him, telling lies about him. I mean, they could say he's the Loch Ness Monster. No proof, they say it. It must be true. They've got the entire spectrum attacking him. Oh, and guess what? Donald Trump announced last week, looks like he's going to go ahead and run for president again. Of course, what did our sources say months ago? He got in to discredit the birth certificate, and that he would come back in if it looked like Republicans might beat Obama. Or if it's not the Republican the establishment wants. And you watch. If Ron Paul ends up winning and getting the nomination, in is going to come Donald Trump with all his slick talk, and he's going to get a big group of so-called conservatives to vote, and he's going to split the race, and you're going to end up with Barack Obama in there again. That's how the system does it. That's how in the last two elections Rick Perry got elected with a minority of the votes. They always just have a bunch of people run. And that's how they're going to do it again this time. That's their plan. A casino owner who gives double the money to Democrats, and you idiot conservatives were calling me months ago mad that I didn't get behind Donald Trump. I get emails like, you're an Obama operative for George Soros. You don't like Donald Trump. I get the same idiotic emails and comments now. Oh, you don't like Rick Perry, huh? George Soros paying you well. And I see this mantra. He's paid by Soros. People are on YouTube saying, where's your proof? I don't need any. I know Jones is. Oh, yeah. That's why Soros organs attack me 24/7 and basically call for my arrest. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Soros. Mm-hmm. Because I'm all for the New World Order and global banks and carbon taxes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. See, it's all about labels. They hope that you just get caught up in Obama and Perry and Mitt Romney. When at the end of the day, the guys are all identical. I mean, do you actually know their records? And I know as my audience, you do, but we've got to force these political prostitutes on talk radio that like to pose as constitutionalists, libertarians, and conservatives. We have got to continue to put them on the coals. They are already coming around to our way of thinking, reality, because we're putting pressure on them. Now, John, Anna, TJ, Merrill, Paul, I'm going to get to all of you, but I want to finish up this CNN clip. Because notice, every one of them saying it's our job to knock candidates out. Ron Paul can't win. Ron Paul. And then, oh, he's winning this straw poll, second place in that straw poll. Number one, number two, number three in all the major polls. Record giving from small donors. More military contributions than all the other candidates combined on the Republican side. More than Obama. Oh, he's not popular. Rush Limbaugh says he's evil. Glenn Beck says he's evil. And see, they only say he's evil during the election cycle. For years, oh, he's great, I like him, yeah. Right when he's about to win, that guy's bad news. And they take the political heat. It hurts their audience. It hurts their listenership. But they've got to carry the water for the establishment, as Rush Limbaugh said. And I'm supposed to just sit here and like the flip-flopping, the duplicity. I'm not supposed to know about Rick Perry and North American Union highways or forced inoculations of deadly shots that he knew was killing people. Or that he worked for Al Gore. I've seen countless comments saying, I'm a liar. He didn't work for Al Gore. Dallas Morning News, Associated Press, Austin American Statesman, Rick Perry's own gubernatorial website. It's on record. He was the chairman of Al Gore's campaign in Texas. So shut up and stop calling me a liar. You are like children. Just because you say something doesn't make it reality. Just because you say Ron Paul's a kook because he's a statesman and is absolutely on target as a historian and an economist. Just because you like being fooled and conned doesn't mean the rest of us want to be drug into worldwide tyranny and depression with you. Don't drag us down your rat hole with your ignorance and foolishness. All right, that's enough. Okay, let's finish the clip. Now listen to this simpering woman. Nobody knows who she is. Nobody cares. She's an empty suit. They stick up on TV with all the rest of the parrots to sit up there and giggle and laugh and make fun of Ron Paul, hoping their audience is shallow, hoping their audience is vapid and sophistic, hoping their audience has no gravel, hoping that you have no grit, hoping that you're this little fluttering idiot like a sponge that, oh, the pundits up on the fancy stage with the fancy lights behind them in suits, they didn't say he could win. So it doesn't matter. They admit he's winning more than anybody else. He's got the most wins. He's got the highest poll numbers. He can beat Obama. And they admit all that and then say, Oh, it's only us, the media, that talk about him. They admit they're ignoring him, but then they say, in fact, we're just talking about him too much. He isn't even in the equation. It's like you're down to the last two laps of a NASCAR Indianapolis 500. Ron Paul is 10 car lengths ahead. The other cars behind him are carbon tax lovers, Obama healthcare riders, forced inoculators, Al Gore minions. I mean, look at IRS enforcers. She didn't work on computers or something at the IRS. She wasn't a secretary. She was the person that raids your house. You couldn't pay me $10 million to go into houses with people that are broke while their kids are crying and their stuff's being loaded up and their house is being taken. But that's who they tell you you want. Oh, look, we got this little tart here for you, Michelle Bachmann and her limp-wristed husband. Don't they look good? Isn't this what you want? How about Mitt Romney, some corporate whore executive, socialism, Obamacare lover? Yeah, that'll fix things. That's another thing. I've never brought up the fact that, you know, his Mormonism or whatever. I don't get into that. But they were attacking Ron Paul saying, are you for having more than one wife? They asked him where he stood. In fact, I'm having one of those moments. Those, what's it called when you've got more than one wife? Polygamy. They asked him where he stood on polygamy, and he said, well, I'm not for it. Well, you're for states' rights. He goes, well, states aren't going to do that. This is nonsensical. Let's have a real discussion here. They were all laughing at Ron Paul because he's not for torture and the killing of Americans without warrants and just total tyranny. Ron Paul said, we're all in danger, folks. This is tyranny. And they were all laughing, all these fake tough guy men looking at him going, ha, 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 you're not for preemptive wars and torture. What a wimp. He doesn't want Americans to be able to be killed for no reason. Huh, it was great in the Soviet Union. This guy's a kook. We're a bunch of coward sellouts. Bachmann, you tell him when you used to raid people's homes as their families cried. You've got little tart eyes. Tell folks how much you love them.
That's right. Let me sit up here like a zombie doll.
Okay, I can't handle it anymore. Let's just finish the clip and I'm going to your calls. I'm going to him.
One thing Donald Trump has ever been right about is that he's unelectable. I mean, I think, you know, my favorite part of the debate Thursday night is that, you know, Rick Santorum broke the golden rule of Republican debates, and that's pretending Ron Paul is invisible. You know? So,
He broke the cardinal rule pretending that Ron Paul's invisible. When you look in these zombies' eyes, every one of them is electrified and scared. There's never been any real opposition, not even Barry Goldwater. He wasn't a bad guy, but he was establishment. There's never been anybody like Ron Paul, 75 years old, works 18 hours a day, dedicated, just so good. God's given us a choice right now. Will he fix everything? No. But it's a step in the right direction. And they sit up there scared to death from every angle, attacking him, treating you like you're idiot, saying he can't win. Oh, Palente broke the cardinal rule of pretending Ron Paul didn't exist. Did you hear that crowd? You little prostitute. Did you hear that crowd? Go watch the debate just like you did. You're there scared of them. You're there hoping that crowd's weak-minded and hoping that you can. And you know what? You might succeed. Ron Paul might not win or the voting machines will kick in and cheat him. But don't worry, we're going to remember all of you prostitutes. It's already come out the federal government pays most of you on top of your jobs in the media with banker bailout money. And that's called aiding and abetting a foreign banking power that took over our country. And you people, well, you know what happened after we won the war in 1789? You know what happened? You are traitors and you're going to be told, get out of this country. You understand? And I'm serious. You people, could you believe we'd be about to be able to audit and get rid of the Federal Reserve? We're going, just because Rick Perry sits up there in a suit and knowingly tells people to take a vaccine that he knows kills them in many cases and maims people, doesn't mean it's okay. Just because they take secret money under the table from the government, MSNBC, CNN, you name it, doesn't mean that that's not super creepy and illegal, as the Congressional Budget Office found 6 years ago. The only way they're getting away with all this is payoffs, folks. Those are enemy banker operatives hitting you hard. Finish up with them. Got the clip, rest of it?
I think you're right. There's more media attention than there is, you know, this is going to have to do with the actual results.
Well, just to remind people of the numbers here, this great victory won by Michelle Bachmann, and I'm not taking anything away from her. She got in late, and she's got a lot of momentum, but she got 4,823 votes. Ron Paul got a couple hundred less, as you say, Roger. Pawlenty with 2,293. Jackie Kucinich, as you mentioned earlier, Texas Governor Rick Perry.
The media doesn't believe that Ron Paul has a hoot in hell.
Hit pause on the video because it's got the headline I wanted to show, folks. Michelle Bachmann wins Ames straw poll. Tim Pawlenty gets third. There's Politico on your screen if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer. An example of hundreds of articles I saw where they wouldn't even mention Ron Paul. Politico, Fox, I saw it everywhere. Why are they all scared? Because he is holy water to these vampires. They are scared, scared, scared. Not because he can't win, because he's the only one that can win. And the only one, if he does win, that could do anything about where we're at. He has given us the prognosis as a doctor of exactly the diagnosis of exactly what we have. He's got the cure. It's called the Republic. It's called liberty. It's called self-sufficiency. It's called kicking the banksters out. And so, of course, they're all attacking him. All right, that's enough. I'm going to go to John, Annie, TJ, Morrell, Paul, and others. Go ahead, John. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, how you doing? First of all, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be on your show. You know, to be on with someone that's covering real news, it's very refreshing. First of all, what I want to say is I'm a law enforcement officer, and I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And it makes me sick to my stomach that someone who is a strict constitutionalist like Ron Paul, the media continues their campaign to discredit him and not give him any chance of winning the presidency. It's just mind-boggling to me that Politico column that says they talk about who wins first place and then talk about Pawlenty getting third and completely ignoring second place.
By the way, Pawlenty dropped out just a few hours ago. This is a total joke. But by the way, he is the front runner right now. That's why they're all attacking him. That's why Limbaugh came out against him Friday. He won the debate hands down. They're scared. Just like the Republican establishment went to Kentucky. Because I hear you say now he has no chance or he may not. No. He's got a super good chance even if they keep running this hoax. If they got behind him and said, yeah, he is the front runner, the Ron Paul revolution, wow, man of his time, decades fighting in the wilderness, now coming to be the leader, you know, Cinderella story, it's tailor-made for them. But no, they're going to scream and scream and scream and tell you he's lost. So in case they've got to steal the election from him, you'll feel like, okay, well, he couldn't win. He would guaranteed win and destroy Obama. Imagine Ron Paul squaring off against Barack Obama in a debate. Can you imagine the utter annihilation? Can you imagine? So see, that's what's happening here, my friend. And Ron Paul is the leader. That's why that political prostitute, Trump is going after him. They've got every gun swung around on him. Does that tell you he's inconsequential and doesn't matter? What does that tell you, John?
Well, it tells me that they're afraid of him. They obviously don't want him in office because they know he's absolutely going to go after the elite that are completely controlling everything.
Yes.
You know, and the other thing is that, you know, They're completely trying to completely burn the Constitution. I see an ad on Time magazine where the cover said they had the Constitution being shredded, and it said, does it even matter anymore? And the only thing I can tell you, Alex, a lot of people need to wake up because I work in law enforcement, and I hear these individuals talk about violating certain people's rights, doing things that completely go against the Constitution. And the moment you bring in the constitutionality part of it, then they start to back up. It's almost like you have to remind the people, hey, there is this thing called the Constitution that gives people rights. Well, you just can't continue to violate them.
Well, here's the deal. They put police in an impossible situation. It's a Hegelian dialectic. They build giant prisons. They put the violent people in. Don't hold them long. Put them back out. Cops are dealing with scum all day. And so cops start thinking, well, this guy's scum. I'm going to go ahead and violate the Constitution to get him. But then you get in the habit of doing it, and now you do it to everybody. And see, at the end of the day, that's the issue. That Constitution and Bill of Rights is there to protect you, officers. You're citizens, too. It's there to protect you from what we now see happening. God bless you, John. I appreciate your call. Anything else?
No, I just wanted to say also, there is a website out there that you can put a sticker on your car that says, has a number 2 on it. It protects the Second Amendment. And I'm trying to educate officers about our rights, because once we take the uniform on, we're citizens just like everybody else. So I'm spreading the word, Alex, and keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. All right, I'm really going to try to go to Annie, TJ, Merrill, Paul, and others when we get back. But I want to say this here. I don't believe in God. I know God is real. I know there's this spiritual force of goodness and creation in the universe. And I can feel God. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've studied history and I've studied providence. This may be one of the last chances the Republic's being given. You notice right as we implode, right as we fall to the banksters, this little humble doctor grew up milking cows. His whole career coming towards this final goal. That's why he's retiring after this. Win, lose, or draw. He knows that as well. This little humble doctor who knows the problems, who will stay the course. People say, well, if he gets elected, they'll just assassinate him. Do you know what that'll do if they assassinate Ron Paul? They can't win if Ron Paul gets in there. And that's why they're so scared of him right now. God's giving us a chance right now to make the right decision. We're at the crossroads. We're either at the tail end of the slow and steady destruction of the Republic by the giant globalist boa constrictor, or we're at the beginning of struggling free. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And Ron Paul is only one manifestation of that. You and I are also manifestations of that. Don't ever think you're small. Don't ever think life's boring or you don't have value. I walked out on the porch this morning at like 6 a.m. and saw the moon rising above the forest. And I was just like, that is so gorgeous. And I could have been in a prison yard and still seen the beauty of it, or in some warren, in New York City. There is majesty and magic all around us. And so many of you that have served the system and now you feel powerless. You've sold out, you've gotten the world. What did it give you? Only being honorable will satisfy you. I'm so satisfied I can barely stand it. My life is so full I can barely contain myself. And I see these worldly people who are so unhappy. You're unhappy because you're going against good. You've bought into lies. Let's go to who's up next here? Ann in California, then TJ and others. Go ahead, Ann. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. It's so great to talk to you. I totally agree with everything you're saying about the media closing out Ron Paul, and what an incredible...
But again, they're not the media. The foreign banker-funded whores of the New World Order, you're... enemy. They are savage enemies that support torture, secret war, taking the troops' pension funds. These people will do whatever they're told. These are horrible scum. I don't just say that. I mean, these are enemies. These are haters of freedom. Sorry, go ahead.
I have 4 incredible suggestions to help us in this incredible moment in history. The first one is, we need a new slogan for Ron Paul. How about, yes, he can?
Absolutely. Or Ron Paul is my president. Or Ron Paul can and will win. Absolutely, folks. It's time for people to call Fox, CNN, Politico, and say, look, man, we're not dumb. We see you say Michelle Bachmann and Palente win. And then don't even mention Ron Paul. I mean, that is so discrediting. But they don't care that... they think you're stupid. What are the other suggestions?
Okay. The next suggestion is to really clarify for people how he is different from what the other Republicans are saying. Okay, studying the debates that happened last week, all of them are talking about repealing Obamacare. All of them are talking about economic plans. That's a given. So, but mainline Republicans are still not educating themselves enough on what makes Ron Paul different. People still don't know. And we need to have our talking points straight for the mainstream Republicans, the independents, and the dissatisfied Democrats that need to know what makes him different.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the talking points. If you idiots vote for another globalist Republican like Pointy Boots or Mr. Obamacare, Romney, you idiots deserve what you get. Look, mainline good Americans aren't really political. We just want freedom. If you go to a mainline Republican function, when you see mainline Republican supporters, they look like they had their soul sucked out. They're these weird, the men are very unmasculine. They like get off on being invited to Republican dinners and they get off on being conned. It's like, they're like demon-possessed goblins or something. I don't know how to explain them. I mean, and they like it that America's falling. They like being conned. They like being manipulated. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to be breaking down the forced inoculator, Rick Perry, Al Gore's chief, Ringwraith. Al Gore is very pleased. He also likes Mitt Romney and has endorsed him, saying that he's done a fabulous job on global warming. Yeah, riding Obamacare isn't enough for you Republicans. Why don't you just elect Satan? I want to continue with your calls. I got a bunch of news, obviously, dealing with government shutdown of cell phones to stop free speech. More on bizarre statement by the New York Times writer Krugman about needing a staged event in America to get their world government through. So we're going to be breaking that down. TJ in Georgia, then Merrill, Paul, Alex, and others. The toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9031. It's now free-for-all. Go ahead, TJ in Georgia.
Alex, I have a question mainly on what about concerning World War III. Basically, when you had Lindsay back on the show, he was talking about, you know, that we are going to betray the entire Middle East. My question is, so after we basically do that, that basically leaves...
Well, by we, you mean the bankers that run this country through a bunch of zombie television watchers who are really nothing but sock puppets.
Yeah, of course, yeah. The shadow government, when they basically do that, that leaves basically Israel over there. So my question is, do you think they all are going to converge on Israel, and it's going to lead to the World War III, the major war they were talking about at the end of 2012, or...
You know, I don't know if Lindsay Williams' sources are right about everything. They've been right about most stuff. And the RAND Corporation and others have said they want something bigger than a regional war. Because then the globalists through America, we're the beast that gives power to the little beast, if you want to get into religion, into the Bible. And, of course, everything is a model of itself. These things go throughout history and repeat themselves over and over again. But the plan is to start a giant war, and then everybody will accept the carbon taxes and Lord Rothschild and his great minions like Al Gore and others. So they need a big war, so we'll forget. I'm going to get to that later. It's actually in the news today, so we'll forget about all the things they've done to us.
Now, another thing is, like, when it comes down to Ron Paul, you know, all of these people that are coming against Ron Paul, all of these are, they are really nothing but sick, twisted people who are, you know, trying to play these little mind games. And because I'm 20 years old and I'm in psychology, and I've been trying to inform people, and I can just tell you, like, how many of these kids, they just be laughing at me, and they just be deciding, you know, their little groups talking about, oh, TJ, he's nothing but this crazy individual thinking that this and this is going to happen. But you know what? The truth is that they know it's true, and they are afraid of Ron Paul, and they are afraid of people like us all because they already know what it basically is to come. And so,
well, here's what happens, TJ. When you talk to the average jellyfish who literally is in a lower brainwave state from television watching, that's a fact, they get shocked and scared, and they think you're showing off that you understand some issues and have some political ideas. That's weird to them. And so they're like, he's not talking about sitcoms, or he's not talking about dramas or football games. This guy's telling me that we need to be involved. They think you're telling them to go clean the garage. They think they can just choose, I'm not into politics. You know, I've got my own life. They don't understand you get into politics or you get run over. They don't understand that human history is slavery and bondage and death and war and pain. As Thomas Jefferson said, you may fight as hard as you can, and you're probably going to lose your freedom. But if you roll over like a bunch of effeminate, it's wrong to say effeminate because women are great, whatever these men are, these giggling smirkers, let them giggle, let them smirk. You tell you, hey, you zombies may wake up later. Remember, you were warned. I'm looking for people. You're looking for folks that got the sunglasses on, that know what's going on, TJ. Morrell, Paul, Alex, Pamela, your calls are straight ahead. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Minutes into hour number three. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just tuned in, I've been ranting and raving about the fact that Fox News, Politico, CNN, we went over example after example. Politico had headlines like, in fact, we can find that, put it back up, I'll read the actual headline. Bachman gets first place, Palente right behind her. And no one mentioned Ron Paul lost by a couple hundred votes and got second place, or that he's won the other key straw polls in places like New Hampshire. Michelle Bachman wins AIM straw poll. Palente gets third. Look, I mean, have you ever been to a horse race where they tell you who the first horse was and the third horse? And I played the CNN clip going, yes, it's our job to ignore him and make sure he can't win, because he can't win. They're not scared of any of the other candidates because they're all bought and paid for. Michelle Bachman, Rick Perry, Barack Obama, Mr. Carbon Tax, Mr. Obamacare, Mitt Romney. I mean, they all hung their shingle out, their business, decades ago and said, I'm a political prostitute. I am ready to do whatever you want me to. I mean, here it is in the news today. Under scrutiny, Perry walks back HPV decision, walks back. And you read the quote, he was asked in New Hampshire last night why he signed an executive order to force little girls to take the HPV shot. And he said, well, I did the wrong thing, and I wasn't as informed as I should have been, and the Texas legislature got a hold of me, and I think that's great. I mean, you can go read the full quotes here. Let me tell you briefly, and then I'll go back to your calls, what Rick Perry did, why I hate him so much. Because I didn't hate Rick Perry till he did this. Not for going to Bilderberg Group, not for supporting the handover of 8,000 miles of Texas roads to Centro of Spain, not for passing franchise taxes on businesses, a state income tax on businesses, and a bunch of other taxes, not for being completely phony. I just thought he was another political prostitute, another unsavory creature of Karl Rove who got him to leave the Democratic camp and to stop working for Al Gore in 1990 or 91. But I remember when they couldn't get Merck and their Gardasil shot in 2006, they couldn't get it on the market. And they'd had trials. You can just type deaths in the trials of Gardasil. They had deaths all over the U.S., dozens and dozens and dozens. Now it's in the hundreds. And if you didn't die, people had blood pouring out of every orifice, every pore dripping blood, paralyzed, convulsions, foaming at the mouth. Just type in Gardasil side effects. And, I mean, you'll see it. In fact, guys, type into the search engine right now, Gardasil, deaths, foaming at the mouth, coma. And that should get them ABC News or WorldNet Daily, both had similar headlines. And so I'm interviewing women in studio who are paralyzed for months and still can't move their arm. You know, I have them in studio who barely survived it in the trials, and I'm reading about cheerleaders dying from it. And then Rick Perry comes out and says, it's the law in Texas, you will take this shot. It's going to save girls. And I went, well, number one, there's not a law. He put it on the list of recommended at the state health department, which the schools then say is part of your requirement to go to school, but it's a policy, not a law, and they can't make you. But then the control freaks want you to still acquiesce to something, so they say, okay, fine, you don't have to. Just fill out this waiver form, and then we keep a list of you dissenters at the health department. But there's no law for that. And again, my children have been homeschooled and private school. The private schools always ask for it. They always say, give us the waiver. We say no. We show them the law. No waiver needed. They say, wow, thank you for teaching us. Principals don't know this. Now, so he runs this hoax. There's several issues here. Saying it's the law, you've got to take it. If you just type in Rick Perry Gardasil, it'll come up too. Associated Press. Merck, Perry ties run deep. It's got all the stuff in it as well. There it is. CDC report stirs controversy for Merck's Gardasil vaccine. That's ABC. I want to show folks Gardasil foaming at the mouth, Gardasil comas. That should get it for you. I don't want to just say bleeding and comas. I want you to see it. Now, continuing here with the point I was getting to. I'll tell you how to search it. Search this. Deaths in Gardasil trials. And then that brings up the headlines about blood and comas and flopping around and bleeding out of every orifice. There's also videos on YouTube on the news. If you can stand to look at little girls' blood pouring out of every orifice. Now, it's basically like a Ebola-style death. Now, the issue is he knew all of this. He knew all of this. Merck said, well, we can't put it on the market. India did trials and refused. Russia did trials. Everybody tried it. People died. So who do they find in the whole world to A, run a hoax and tell you it's the law, you got to take it, and then B, sit there and watch people die and get Guillain-Barrés and flop around and have convulsions? What did he do? Well, they went to a state called Texas, and they found a man called Rick Perry, who not only would he mandate it for all schoolgirls 12 and under, now they try to mandate boys in Texas, the whore media, every radio station, every TV station, complicit little prostitutes who'll do whatever they're told and love putting makeup on and being seen on TV or being heard on the radio. They'd probably kill their own kids to do it. I mean, this is a scum of the earth. Every outlet out there ran the headline. It's the law, the governor says. He orders it. He's your boss. And people lined up and the deaths began and the people started rebelling. The legislature had to come in and pass a law explaining to people that it's not the law that you got to take this shot. Now, that's the type of person that we have in Texas. That's the type of individual that we have who said he wasn't going to run and pledge and always meant to break the pledge to pique people's interest in him like he's some type of reluctant hero. This guy is a complete sickening joke. And now, this isn't a public reversal. He got asked at a press conference and said, well, I should have handled that better because the news is saying this is really hurting him, that he's this big libertarian Texan who wants to force you to take experimental drugs that Gardasil put out by Merck that they wanted to dump on the market but couldn't. Because this is what happened when a governor puts it on the list of recommended vaccines, mandated is the word, and the media went along with that hoax to tell everybody that they had to take it, again, just as complicit in the murder and the maiming. When he comes out and mandates it, vaccine liability federal fund kicks in, the $10-plus billion they've got they quietly pay people off with. So they could dump a drug they knew was going to maim and kill folks and have federal protection because a governor mandated it. That's what the federal law states. If a governor or the president or Congress mandates something, then the vaccine, you know, if there's a public health mandate, if government says we want you to take this, well, the vaccine maker said, well, then you've got to cover us. Well, they went and sought the government mandate to dump a live virus injection. Listen, do this. Do WorldNet Daily Gardasil, and it'll come up. In fact, I'll show everybody right now. Watch this. There it is. Death toll linked to Gardasil vaccines rises. Complications include shock, foaming at the mouth, convulsions, and coma. Awesome. You found it. There's also an ABC News one that's got it. I'm not just saying blood pours out of every orifice here to get your attention. This is what it does. Hundreds and hundreds dead. We got Warren Buffett coming out saying we got to raise taxes on the rich. He means somebody making more than you. Somebody making $100,000 a year while he's exempt from the taxes. That's coming up too. I just can't handle it anymore. These people make me want to throw up, and Rick Perry makes me want to vomit. I got a lot of big breaking news here. Oh, nobody wants to dominate the world. Nobody wants world government. Nobody wants globalism. Nobody wants to take your liberty. Nobody wants to conquer you. But every major corporation admits that's their goal. Our government is run by these people. Here's MSNBC. I saw it on MSNBC this morning. This is out of a Wall Street Journal Market Watch. Google wants world domination. Well, is that a conspiracy theory? Nobody wants global domination. Not Julius Caesar, not Adolf Hitler, not Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. I mean, yeah, they've dominated us. They've bankrupted us. They're totally destroying our freedom, but nobody's trying to dominate you. The evil doesn't exist. Google set up by the NSA, spying on everybody without warrants. You know, they don't want any power. Google Inc. is hell-bent on world domination, nothing less. Google has agreed to pay 63% premium in a $40 a share cash offer to Motorola Mobility Holding Inc. handset making operation. The proposed deal is valued at $12.5 billion. It's a gambit that will create upheaval in the market for mobile computing and wireless devices. Read more about Google's deal to buy Motorola Mobility. Well, Google's been given all their major software platforms by DARPA. It is DARPA run. It is the highest level of Bilderberg now with Schmidt. And of course, they paid a 60% premium. This isn't about profits. It's about domination. Of course. Of course, Google is so bold. 5 years ago, they admit they're watching you over the camera built into your computer. They don't care. They're just like in Philadelphia where the school said, yeah, we watch you at home over your computer, in the shower, in the bed. What you going to do about it? We got SWAT team standing by. But you're still kooky if you don't like it. Oh, yeah, we're setting up a global domination system run by private banks and corporations, but you're still a kook if you don't like it. Oh, we're setting up a new world order, and we're getting rid of the Constitution. But if you say we are, it doesn't exist. You're like, but that's crazy. And they look at you and they say, you may be conscious and aware of what we're doing, but the general public isn't. And we're going to hurt all of you real bad. Your calls are straight ahead. I got a bunch of other news I'm going to get to. So I just got to one or two articles here. I've got like 70 or 80. I don't know how I'm going to cover it all. But we've got to warn everybody. We've got to warn people. This is not America, my friends, where we always just give up more and more freedom. How much further are we going to slide? It's a little piece of me. It's a little piece of you. We die for the system. Yeah, let them cut corners, but pretty soon there's nothing left of the Constitution. And so the establishment in Time Magazine, Newsweek, everywhere, you heard that police officer call in earlier. He was shocked by the image of the Constitution being shredded on the cover of Time Magazine with the message, does it matter? Yeah, it matters more now than ever. You notice as it goes away like oxygen out of the room, all of our liberties and freedoms and blessings are gone. And now they're selling, getting rid of it completely, that'll bring the prosperity back. Oh, yeah, it's great in North Korea and Mexico and places where they don't have any due process. Oh, it's real good. All right, I'm going to go to Merrill, Paul, Alex, Paula, and Tim, and I'm going to try to go a little quicker because I do have to get to the world news, the financial news. There's a bunch of other breaking news that's just blowing me away right now. But I want to go to your calls. I just want to point out to people that I intended to, when I was fishing this morning at like 6 to 7:30, I just went fishing real quick with the kids down the street, that I was going to come in here and talk about all the positive things. And I have talked about a lot of positive stuff today, but perhaps I'll just shoot a special report for PrisonPlanet.tv going over all the positive things that have happened, because I need to categorize it and really give you a progress report from my perspective. But we're giving the globalists one hell of a fight. You know, the biggest thing that tyrants do is first they tell you there's no good and evil, so you don't have a moral judgment, so you're rudderless, so they can get away with whatever they want. But they also break your will. They train you to just accept more and more, to the point of it's abnormal that when I see Politico and Fox and CNN and others not even mention Ron Paul in the poll results, the straw polls in Iowa, and I showed examples earlier. I mean, that is brazen. It's brazen that when Ron Paul wins polls on Fox, they won't show him. Or that CNN was caught using a fake poll when Ron Paul had won another poll a month ago and got caught. I mean, they're not just ignoring him because they're scared. They're running scared. Well, that's a big positive right there. I mean, they're having to absolutely pull out all the stops and just hope that you don't get upset about them really abusing you, abusing me. I mean, I am flabbergasted, as bad as I know these people are, that they are this brazen. I use that word a lot, brazen, naked, chutzpah, arrogance, in your face, hidden in plain view. I don't know. But people ask, how does stuff get so bad in North Korea? By increments. In Russia, how did it get so bad? By increments. In Nazi Germany, by increments. In Cuba, by increments. In Venezuela, by increments. In Rome, by increments. Khmer Rouge, by increments. And again, all I've got going for me is that I started reading history for entertainment. I was about 5, 6 years old when I could barely read. My parents had countless Time Life books. You know, they had these leather-bound ones about the West, and it was all gunfights and the history of saloons in the West, and they had a big World War II collection and a big World War I collection, and they had a Nazi collection and a Soviet collection. And by the time I was about 10, because we had a television, but we weren't allowed to watch it except at dinner. You know, before dinner, while my mom was cooking, she'd watch the news. They let me watch Shakespearean plays and things on PBS sometimes. And in the summer, she let me watch Godzilla Week. Me and my friends, you know, would sit there and eat bologna sandwiches and watch that. Then she'd say, now go to the local pool. Get out of here. Go play. But the point is that I read hundreds of history books. And I got addicted to those. And then I started reading hundreds and hundreds of others. Big, thick, you know, not illustrated Time Life stuff, which was pretty heavy reading in its own right when you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. But I read Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, sure. I read Order of the Death's Head, Heinz Hobel. I read The Mind of Adolf Hitler, Secret British Wartime Report, Declassified in 66. I read part of Rise and Decline of the Roman Empire. I couldn't quite make all that out when I was like 10. Well, you couldn't get me to do schoolwork, but you could get me to read history books because it was so action-packed. And then I started going to college, and I saw tyranny being set up. I was like, I've read about this, what you're doing. They look at me in the because they're the little tyrants. They're the little control freaks. They get off on the fact that other people aren't aware. And all I've ever tried to do is warn people since then.
Was a highwayman along the coach roads I did ride,
with sword and pistol by my side,
sword and pistol by my side.
Many a young maid
lost her baubles to my trade.
Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade.
Let's talk to Merrill in Utah, Paul, Alex, Pamela, and Tim, and then I've got to start racing through the other news here. Merrill, thanks for holding. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's your view on all these topics we've been covering?
Oh, God, man. You're really hitting hard on it. I really agree with you. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I had a couple points today. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, they support this gun control, and they just don't realize that the ultimate goal is to disarm us. It's to disarm and implement tyranny. You know, Janet Reno is quoted as saying waiting periods are a step. Registration is only a step. Prohibition of private firearms is a goal.
By the way, that's on record. That was in a letter to the Brady campaign. Obama's on record for a total gun ban. The Violence Policy Center, Handgun Control Inc., the Brady Center, they admit abolition of individual ownership of guns. That's in the UN UNIDIR treaty. And then when we talk about it, the George Soros outfits make fun of us like it doesn't exist. They know full well it does. That's what I mean. These are duplicitous, anti-liberty scum who admit their intentions to themselves, and then we say, listen, no more gun control. You want our guns. And they go, we just want to be reasonable. That's what I mean, folks. They're tyrants. They're scum. Stop being conned. Wake up. We're in trouble.
Damn right we are. Well, anyway, sir, there's another one from Sarah Brady. She says, our task of creating a socialist America can only succeed when those who would resist us have been totally disarmed.
She said that on the House floor. That went out live on C-SPAN, and then it was published in, what, Education Quarterly?
Yep, that's right.
Total filth.
1994.
Yeah, total filth. I know. Notice they're massing their weapons against us while they don't want us to have weapons. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Look at Britain. I mean, look what's happening there. If they had guns, they could stand up and defend their business.
Well, they think it's weird that, man, these people want to own guns. Of course we do. In every case in history, if you don't own guns, you're a slave. The state has to protect you from the giant welfare class they've created. Oh, it's totally sick. Anything else, Merrill?
Just keep up the good work. I'm fully behind you, and, you know, my family thinks I'm crazy, but I would like to know one thing, is what movie would you recommend to wake people up?
I would have to say Obama Deception, Endgame. I appreciate your call, Merrill. Merrill, any salesman will tell you the hardest people to sell are folks that know you. Rick Perry likes to quote it. It's true. A prophet's not known in his own country. And your family is going to think you're showing off to them. Or they changed your diapers. Doesn't matter if it was 40 years ago. And I just wouldn't waste your time with your family. A lot of times when you're nice to people and like, I really want to warn you, they take it as like you're weak and they're rebuffing you makes them feel good. Quite frankly, if family's too mean to you, unless it's your wife or whatever, how about you don't talk to them for 6 months? This is serious business here. This country's going to hell in a handbasket. You're in 1939 Germany telling them Hitler isn't good, and they're laughing at you around the dinner table. I'm not saying turn the table over, but you know what? Desperate times take desperate measures. And years ago, I'd say just ignore them. But the tyranny is so out in the open now. Do people have any idea what it means when there's no Bill of Rights or Constitution? It's like there not being a Hoover Dam and your house is built down at the bottom. What happens if the dam suddenly disappeared? You'd be in 500 feet of water in seconds. If they can torture people, if they can launch wars without any type of approval from Congress, if the ATF can put new gun laws in place without laws, if Rick Perry can say it's the law, take a shot, knowing good and well it's been killing people, and there's not even a law, he just says it, and the whole media of Texas got behind him and the national news and said, yeah, it's the law, take it. And people started dying. They were like, woohoo, yeah, woohoo, and calling us kooks and nuts. But you know what? 4 years later, He's running scared from it. Lawsuits are all in place, and hardly anybody's taking that shot anymore. See, it's only tough to be right up front. What is it Mark Twain said? In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man. I'm trying to remember the exact full quote. When I start trying to speed up so I get to your calls, and I start babbling. Guys, pull up the Mark Twain quote for me. Mark Twain, a patriot is a scarce man. In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Yep, there it is. Mark Twain quotes, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. See, I'm always paraphrasing it. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. That was in his notebook in 1904. I mean, people, I have sat there with family. Most of my family are really great, awake people, but I've sat there with family year after year and said, you ought to invest in gold, and they laugh at me as it goes up. And the next year I see them and I say, gold's gone up again, and they laugh again. And the higher gold goes, the bigger idiot I am, the writer I am. And now when I see those people, I don't bring up the gold issue. They bring it up and laugh more. Now, see, in the old days, a bad decision would mean you'd freeze to death or be killed by lions or starve. In the old days, no matter what culture, people were real close to reality, real close to the where the rubber meets the road. Only in this modern decadent society could cowardly people giggle and snicker. But when they giggle and snicker looking at me, they are almost crying. They're upset. They're scared. They're thinking this guy has been right about everything. And so I'm going to giggle and snicker, kind of like gallows humor, to make themselves feel like they're on top of things. That's what they do. And it's pathetic to the point of I won't even go around those people now. Not because I even hate them. I don't want to be in their presence. Because people like that are going to buy whatever they're told. You know, a lot of you have seen the footage, the films of Jews and other people being run into dirt pits and shot in the back of the head. And I'm sure you've seen the footage of the naked women with their babies in their arms being run in there, humiliated, and being shot in the head. And people say, why did they put up with it? Because by increments they put up with it. If you'll put up with 1 inch of tyranny, you'll take a million miles. And so there are many people listening right now that would actually, to get the approval of a man in a black uniform, would tie their own two-year-old's arms to a post before they're shot. I mean, I've watched a lot of newsreels, raw newsreels. We've actually purchased them from the National Archives. I have watched hours of newsreels of Nazi executions. I've also seen some Soviet executions. They weren't as prolific at documenting it as the Nazis. And in most cases, the men, if they were still dressed, would take their hats off and bow to the Nazis and try to jog perfectly to get their approval. And were very proud of themselves how they stood up straight to be shot. Not me, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, I wouldn't be in that position. I'd have been dead a long time ago, taking a bunch of people with me. That's A. And B, if I would have gotten in the position, if they tasered me or whatever, and a month later I'm out of jail being run into a pit, when I was running by one of the Nazis, with all of my hatred, I would grab them and bite their nose off. I would have enough strength at that point to break their neck with my bare hands. Any of you can do that if you just turn it loose. I will not sit here and suck on the gun barrel before you blow my brains out. You understand me? I am not under your mind control. I broke my conditioning a long time ago. And it's time for people to be born again hard. That's a line from Full Metal Jacket. But that's an old saying they had I read back in the 50s and 60s in the Marine Corps. people who were really weak but finally went through their pain and woke up and found their strong side. It's time to be born again hard. It's time to get your mind hard and stop being chicken necks. Just because you live in denial doesn't mean all this evil isn't swirling around you, trying to get rid of the last bits of the Constitution so it can run wild on us. I am not going to run into any physical pit or psychological pit and lick your boots. Do you understand that? I want that straight. I want that understood. Paul in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How are you, sir?
Good.
I am a Navy veteran from the, I was active during the Carter administration, and I've heard you talk about the RAND Corporation, and I applaud you because you're really close there. That's the crux of the biscuit right there. I've also been in and around CPS there in Austin, had my child kidnapped. And I grew up on the Pacific Missile Test Center. Had my 18th and 19th birthday on the San Nicolas Island. I think you should ask your friend Jesse about it. I think some people should Google it and find out more about it. The RAND Corporation was really embedded in America from the beginning, and I'm sure you catch a lot of flack for that because you're over the target. I applaud you. I applaud your patience. And I've been waking people up for 30-plus years, and it's so much easier when I can refer to somebody like you and say, hey, just go listen to him. Just go ahead for an hour. And I like what you're doing, and I'd love to support you in any way I can.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Yeah, the RAND Corporation has really diagrammed in the last 60 years much of what our country is today. The federalization of police, everything. And at the end of the day, they are nihilistic atheists who believe in a soulless world. They believe in a one-world government. And they believe in the end of the family and everything decent. And I don't know what else I can say. Anything else, sir?
Well, I can. You know, I got to look at one of their operations manual when I was just a kid. And it shocked me. It woke me up. And it was a little bit more than a 19-year-old can handle. And you know, I've been, when I went home, you know, my native Detroit, and started to tell my friends, oh my God, guys, you are not going to believe this. And they didn't. And I applaud the way you stitch it all together, and you are certainly over the target.
What particular, that would probably be a classified RAND document. What did the document pertain to?
Oh, it was just how they were going to dumb down America, what they were going to use, how they were going to do it. What weapons, be they mind weapons, be they physical weapons, be they chemical weapons. Eli Lilly was tied into it quite deeply. You know,
Well, you know, you're right. I shouldn't get mad at the public. And then that was another epiphany I have on a daily basis, but never articulated. I get mad at people and call them jellyfish. I'm just a little more resistant than most people. You are as well. They've put poison and chemicals on record in everything. There's a reason men don't look like men. There's a reason IQs are dropping. I mean, these people are so evil. And that's what I said earlier. It's that we can't recognize it. And Rand and others pointed out, they said, Hitler moved too quick. We're not going to line you up in ditches and shoot you. We're going to line your soda pop cans with bisphenol A and give you cancer and sterilize you. We're going to put it in your GMO. We're going to put it in your water. We're going to put it in your sodium fluoride water, and we're going to hurt you. And isn't that the ultimate form of domination, to just slowly poison and kill people? And they love the unknown, the untotal pain, all the death, all the sorrow, all the untimely deaths, all the addled brains, all the brain damage. It's just beautiful to them. Because to control freaks, if you're a David Rockefeller or a Zbigniew Brzezinski or a Warren Buffett, they can just walk down the street. They always act like, you know, on TV interviews with ice cream cones or little sweet guys that care about you. And they just get to look at everybody and think about what they're doing to everybody. And Bill Gates used to wear his little glasses and smile and act real cute to everybody. And these are mass murdering killers. It's so much fun to them, isn't it?
Hey, you know, all truth goes through three stages. Opposite, you know, ridicule first, then opposition, and then acceptance.
Well, look at Rick Perry. Anybody doubts they're trying to kill us? They knew for a year and a half Gardasil was killing people. They couldn't get any country to approve it, so they had Rick Perry take an experimental vaccine and order it given to children so that once it was mandated, they got protection. I mean, Rick Perry is a conscious child murderer. And I got to have all these little chicken-necked, you know the types I'm talking about, milquetoast, fake Christian people sit there and send me emails about how I'm against a man of the Lord. Don't they know that the devil masquerades as an angel of light and will quote scripture better than the other angels? Don't they know? No, they don't know it. They're a bunch of abominable. I'm sorry, they're not abominable. They are drug-addled zombies. Anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I would say that they can be taught, and nobody is exempt from waking up. And it's what you do when you wake up. It's how you stand opposed after it.
What else? I agree with you. Exactly. What else did you read in that loving Rand Corporation report?
It was all about, a lot of it was about drugs, the portion that I was in, because they were, you know, the Navy and the, was dealing so much drugs then. There were so many drugs pre-Reagan in the Navy that, you know, we were just, you know, the guys knew this is how we're going to get America. We're going to use this drug and we're going to twist their brains and then we're going to synthesize other things and we're going to make people so stupid they don't know what to believe.
Well, that's like the CIA. It was in the Washington Times Friday. I forgot even, I'm so conditioned now that, I mean, it's so well known to us. Washington Times, top CIA people came out and said, yeah, the government brings the drugs in and ships guns to Mexico. I mean, there it is in the news again, Washington Times, and I mean, it's pure evil. And people just say, oh, well, my government couldn't be doing that. I mean, again, I'll go back to this and we're going to come back. Got some financial news straight ahead. I go back to a year and a half ago, Bloomberg and AP come out and go, yeah, the big insurance company signed a secret deal 11 years ago to take all the death benefits of the troops that they paid. I mean, it totally criminal. I mean, that right there, the government is pure criminal. Pure criminal. And the only one they're going after is Ron Paul. What does that tell you? Because Ron Paul's real, folks. Some of the news I wanted to get to today. I'm tempted to do a whole hour overdrive right now, but then that won't be on the AM and FM dial. It'll just be at prisonplanet.tv and infowars.com. Again, I don't feel worthy to be bringing you this information. I'll do 5 minutes overdrive so I can get to Alex, Pamela, Tim, and Johnny, at least here. But I've told people the truth. I've studied history. My analysis is spot on. I wish every day I was wrong. You don't understand how much I wish we were wrong. The tyrants got smart. They figured out how to move slow and how to train people to think it's cute to be slaves. And, I mean, my God, it should be the number one issue in America that diabetes has doubled in the last 10 years. Most forms of cancer have doubled or even more. Man, they're killing us something hardcore right now. And I got all their documents where they admit that they're doing it. That's what's so sick. Aaron Dykes did a 30-minute report last week, and sure, a couple hundred thousand people have watched it. It should be 200 million that have watched that report. I've done almost 3 hours of radio and haven't plugged a sponsor, a book, a video, anything. If you believe in what we're doing, please buy the T-shirts, the books, the videos. Get them out to people. They're at Infowars.com if you believe in what we've covered here. I could tell you, buy gold and silver from Ted Anderson, but the lost leader stuff that he promotes here on air, he might make 3% on. And that's only because he buys the silver and gold when it dips and then sells it to you when it's high at the old price. You know the pitch. The pitch is reality. The pitch is it's a great deal. And in closing, before I end the official radio show and come back in overdrive and take some calls, Ted Anderson, gold is shot back up today. I'll show folks a graphic. It's up 17-something bucks last time I checked. To $1,764.50, climbing. Shilver's up as well. Tell us what's going on in the markets today, Ted.
Well, like, you know, CME was a hedge fund, and they drove the prices down by raising the reserve requirements, but that didn't last very long. And obviously, the country's problems haven't been solved, and if that doesn't happen, gold and silver is going to continue to rise. Just a few stories on Bloomberg. Nobody wants to talk about it, but yeah, you're right. Gold is shooting up like a rocket. I just think, you know, small pieces of gold like the franc at 381 would get you a full year subscription to the new, you know, the International Forecaster newsletter. The American Dream video, you know, $88 delivered. You get the American Dream video, Big Brother. You're talking about the Obama's deception. That's one of my favorites of yours. $130, three silver dollars you get at that deal.
You get three silver dollars and three of my best-selling films. So basically free shipping and free three films with the Obama deception endgame. Fall of the Republic special. You've got the deal with Mark Dice's Big Brother book, the Free American Dream video that really exposes the bankers, free shipping when you get the two silver dollars. And again, Ted can only do this because he bought silver when it dipped, and so that's the only way he can sell it to you at this price now with all the free stuff. Has that gone up yet, Ted? Is it still $88 for the two silver dollars?
Well, there's still $88, and I'm still holding it there, and you're right about everything's shot up today. I mean, I was able to buy at about 1630 some here just earlier this week, but now we're looking at 1676 or something like that. I mean, it's really gone up. And so, yeah.
Hey, Ted, you're living in the past, buddy. Gold's at 1760 something.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. I've got the numbers wrong. I got it all turned around in my head. Yeah, it's 1700 and it was like 1763, and now it's in the 1770 range, you know. So, I mean, yeah, the market's just strong, and it isn't going to stay down.
Absolutely. Really, remember back when people said we were kooks because we said it would go to 1,000, then 1,500? Call about the radio specials, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get into silver and gold. Just tell them to read you the radio list. They got a whole list of specials. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. Thank you so much, Ted. I'll see you all back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. I'm going to come back with calls. Jam in as many of your calls as we can here. Staying over late to make sure we get to you. Alex in Indiana, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing today?
Good. Welcome.
Phenomenal show. First-time caller, long-time listener. Loving what you're doing. I wanted to call you from the state of Indiana, where we got FEMA Center from Beech Grove and Mitch Daniels shoving I-69 down our throat to split our state right in half. I wanted to call and just talk about something really quick. I didn't start waking up to you until about 3 or 4 years ago when you were talking about AmeriCorp and Citicorp and all this stuff that they were trying to shove down our throats. At that time, I worked at a hotel, and we had the AmeriCorp contract for Indiana. And all of these, it was a really weird experience. All these servile, weird, I don't even know how to explain it, would come in and they'd want everything for free, but they were still working for the government and standing for what the government stood for and couldn't understand that left-right paradigm. And I haven't heard you talk about it for a while, and I kind of wanted to get your opinion on their propaganda and getting out into the community and thinking that government's phenomenal, you know?
Well, Obama tried to activate his multi-million person goon squad. But when they didn't instantly get free houses and free cars and free gas, none of them showed up. So he's gone from being, as they called him, the savior in the news, the Christ, actually in the U.S. national media, that he might have been Jesus. There was actual talk of that, to now the lowest approval rating ever for a president 2.5 years in, almost 3 years in now. And so that took place. So they've gone with the model of the TSA, with local police under their command, setting the precedent for these domestic checkpoints. And then they'll also have gaggles of Boy Scouts and welfare people in little red uniforms that we show in Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, running around bossing and tattling and ninnying mainly. It's like a ninny force. You know, the New World Order's main forces are limp-wristed men with pot bellies. for some reason, and that's their strike force. But two Americans were like, oh, you have a pot belly? Oh, let me roll over. So don't ask me why, but that's, I mean, it seemed like you described them that way. It's a certain, like, you know, smiley, twinkly-eyed type person that rules this whole system. But that's basically where all that is going. Anything else?
It's really weird how you actually, when you dive into believing and knowing exactly what you're saying is true, how much you see that. I moved to a hospital and just got let go for other reasons, but I refused to take the vaccines that they were trying to shove down our throat. Like,
well, see, they can't fire for that, so they always fire you 2 months later for something else.
That's exactly what happened. I signed the waiver, and they said, well, why aren't you taking it? I said, well, it has thimerosal in it. And they said, well, thimerosal is good for you. I said, it's terrible for you. It gives you cancer. And they go, oh, you're one of those. I said, well,
look at this nut, Martha. He thinks mercury isn't good for him. This Alex is crazy. These people are nuts. Oh, look, the insert says it causes brain damage. He knows how to read. Look, Ron Paul's winning almost all the polls. These crazies think he can win. See the mind game they play? I'm sorry. And by the way, they've got 20 new vaccines. I saw a report that they want to make mandatory in the next 5 years. By mandatory, so I guess if you go to work at a hospital now, it's like, I take shots every day at lunch. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, as soon as that whole slime campaign happened through the hospital, I got on all your videos on thimerosal and vaccines and everything to everybody, and a bunch of nurses quit. And when they said, "Well, who told you thimerosal is bad?" it came back to me. So it's a real disgusting propaganda.
But don't worry that you got fired. At least you got a bunch of people to quit over the fact that they were lied to. Now those nurses will go to other hospitals and will refuse. It's like Rick Perry murdering all these kids in Texas, and now it's a big national news that he knew it was going to kill him, but he did it. Because he's a literal vampire, devil-worshipping, scumbag, maggot, agent of Satan. I'll see you back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. Get angry, learn to recognize evil. God bless you all.